Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Master manipulators. This kid's going to be the greatest poker player the world has ever seen. The hardest negotiator. Let me hit you with an example. We were going to bed the other night. I was telling him a story. He's twirling around a little string. You know, like we have this little pillow that attaches to the bed. It's kind of like bumpers, and there's a little extra string. He's twirling it around his finger, and he asks me, "Is this okay?" And I respond, "Yeah." Like, it wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't no, it was, yeah, which you as an adult human, Ariel, what does that mean to you?
That means, not really.
It's okay, but like, there are some ways in which it's not. And he looked me dead in my eye sockets, and he says, yeah, but not really. And I was like, this kid has read me like a book. Then, of course, I had to go on to explain that it's okay to twirl around your finger when you're awake, but I'd like you to tuck it to the side because daddy's a little worried about you, I don't know, strangling yourself in the middle of the night because dad anxiety is huge. Really, we should probably just cut the string if we're worried about it. But I was
They are less than 6 inches, so you don't have to worry about him strangling himself.
Okay, I guess that is true, yeah. Circumference of a neck is quite large.
Mm-hmm.
We won't talk about this anymore, but we are going to talk about dad stuff today.
We are going to talk about dad
stuff. Yeah, it's a daddy episode.
Yeah, you know, you started talking about daddy anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I want to... So, you know, we're coming off an episode where Rachel and I talked all about our sort of mom things,
mm-hmm.
you know, like postpartum, partum, just anxieties about being a mom and body changes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that we want to hear from you, hon.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You know, because as the non-birthing partner, you go through changes too.
It's true. I do. Yeah, it's true. Now it's your turn to make a lot of puns about my body parts. That are, you know, not well received by the community.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, last week was fun. It was daddy's big day off.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a 12-hour shoot day, but
you did.
It was different.
Yeah.
Something different.
Different is good.
Yeah.
Because
is good.
With kids, you know, days are, it's a lot of the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the same. How many times did Wes, like, go up and down that slide at the park the other day?
It had to have been over 9,000.
It does seem like it, doesn't it? Yeah, no, we took Wes to the park the other day, and the park was completely empty. And so Ned was holding Finn, and Wes just wanted to chase me around the park for, it felt like 2 hours.
Up and down.
I'm actually physically sore
from
my child chasing me around
the
park.
Baby gym workout?
Yeah, because I had to like pull myself up onto the structure and then like, you know, run along the thing and then, you know, but run slowly because I have a toddler chasing me.
Mm-hmm.
And then like going down the slide and then getting up off the slide and then running through the sand. I mean, my goodness. Like, how do children, like, not just pass out after playing at the park? I am a, like, full-size human being, and I was like, I need a break, buddy.
Yeah.
I need a break. And he was like, no, Chase.
All that M&M energy.
It is the M&M energy. Yeah.
It was so adorable to see him at the park, though. I mean, parks in LA, as I'm sure, and many places have been closed for a
mm-hmm.
great long time,
mm-hmm.
and they've recently opened back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wes was playing in this playground with a mask, and then there were like a couple of other kids mm-hmm. with masks, and It was like the first time we'd seen him interact with other children in a year.
It felt surreal. He was chasing these two bigger boys.
Mm-hmm.
There was a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And
enormous compared to him.
Yeah, absolutely enormous compared to him. And they were able to do like monkey things mm-hmm. on the play structure, you know, and Wes is like trying to do it. And I was like, oh my God, 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 he's going to fall. But I'm trying not to be that helicopter parent that's mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm here to catch you if you're going to fall, you know, because he's just doing what the other kids are doing. And there was one point when he was like standing on something that he's never stood on before. And mm-hmm. I truly thought he was going to fall down. Like, and he goes, Mom, look. And I was like, mm-hmm. great, honey.
That's how it always starts. Mom, look is the precursor to, ow, my arm. Wow.
Ow, my arm, yeah.
It was pretty exciting. I mean, there was a point where another kid asked him, what's your name? And Wes just sort of like runs away.
he had no idea what like, to say.
How be human?
Well, we went into quarantine when he was like not even two.
Yeah.
And now he's almost three.
Right.
And this is when he starts playing with other kids and like interacting. Oh my God, he did
exciting
the cutest thing. Do you remember when he walked up to that little girl
was like, "May I please have your ball?"
I think he said, "Can I have a turn on your ball?" And
oh,
that's the part that just made me tear
implicit
up a little
sharing.
Bit. Implicit sharing. He was like, "Can I have a turn on your ball, please?"
Mm-hmm.
And he even said, "Please." The polite little muffin mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. said, "Please." I was just like, I'm tearing up again because I'm just like, he's like a grown ass adult.
I know.
Seriously, I know. He was so sweet. And like, he really didn't want to share his trucks. But then like when she didn't want to share her ball, I was like, hey, bud, why don't you offer her one of your trucks? And he mm-hmm. was like, yeah, okay.
And he did it. He did a little trade, did yeah. a little exchange. And when the girl...
It was like horse trading. Mm-hmm. He didn't even say anything. He just walked up and showed her a truck. And she was like...
Grab the ball.
I'm pretty sure this little girl was like the older sibling of like a younger kid. And so I'm pretty sure she was like five or six.
She gets it.
And so she just sort of looked at him like, okay, fine. Here. You can have the dang ball.
And then he played with the ball. It was very cute. And then the girl, of course, took her ball back. And then Wes wanted to play with it again. So he offered one truck. And she was like, no. And then he offered
two trucks.
And she was still like, no.
I think she even said, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And then he walked over to me and he goes, she said, no, thank you.
Adorable kids.
Oh, my gosh. He's like so fun to be around right now. You know? It's funny to hear myself say that because I absolutely adore my children, but there aren't like
nights have been rough lately.
Yeah, it's kind of
taking
like,
a step backwards, we could say.
And it can be very isolating being around like children all the time.
Yeah.
I think that people who work with kids are saints because they you're communicating at a different level, you know? And so, but Wes has, he's almost on our level now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he can communicate like an adult, you know? And he has thoughts and feelings and he comes up with these hilarious ideas that just make me giggle every single time. Like when he's like, I have an idea. How about if we do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that is legitimately a great idea. Yes, let's do that.
He came up with the idea that different types of dragons spew different types of things. So I was like, well, there was a fire dragon that came out of the woods. I like to kind of give the stories like a little fantasy
Ned
element,
tells the
you
best
know?
Stories. He tells the best stories. I cannot keep up with these stories. I was trying to tell him a story
intricate.
The other night,
yeah?
And
he's like, this is a rerun.
Well, I don't want to say I failed miserably.
No.
But I think I did because I don't have the level of detail that you have.
Well,
you know?
I think everyone has their own style.
Yeah.
He likes your
style,
too.
My style is just not quite up to par. But please continue about
anyways,
your fire dragon.
Anyways, so I said, there's a fire dragon. And then I said, oh, and then an ice dragon came. He's like, what's an ice dragon? I'm like, an ice dragon is very cold, and it spews ice. And he's like, and then there was a hair dragon. And it went, bleh, and it spewed hair everywhere. And then the ice cream, it got hair in it, because the ice dragon was making ice cream, of course, naturally. it was just so, then he came up with like 15 other different types of dragons that were spewing all different things.
Oh, cutie.
Adorable. And it wasn't my idea, it was his idea. Crazy. It's a three-year-old has his own ideas.
Also, something to talk about. Mm-hmm. Well, we hinted about the sleeping. I think Wes is dropping his nap. Yep. Wes is dropping his nap. I know.
Shudder.
I know.
Move it.
I think this is a good time to talk about it, hon, because I know that you are in denial about it.
I'm in denial.
Ned is 100% in denial that Wes is dropping his nap. Like, Ned will go and put him down for a nap, and he will stay in there with him for 2 hours until that child either, like, is like, Dad, this is boring. Or Ned falls asleep and Wes wanders out by himself.
That's happened.
Yeah, or they've been in there for long enough and
it's a war
Ned
of attrition.
Finally gives up.
I say, you know, even if you're not tired, we're going to have quiet time for 60 minutes. And then when he asks again, I say, you have 55 minutes remaining. Then when he asks again, I say, you have 50 minutes remaining.
I ordered a 60-minute timer
so that he can
see. Because, well, the timer worked really well the sitting at the table.
I'm very curious how 60 minutes will work.
Uh-huh. I mean,
it's a long time.
Well, the thing is, he can play during quiet time.
He
doesn't have to lay there with his eyes open and just like...
Oh, I tell him he has to stay in his bed.
Okay.
But he kind of plays in his bed.
I'm glad that we're talking about this if you've told him that he needs to stay in his bed, then maybe we should, continue with that.
Play in the room?
Yeah, let him play in his room. Okay. I let him play in his room. And like, as long as I can get my stuff done during that hour, like, you know, cook some food, clean up the house a little bit... Like, puts on my phone for 5 minutes.
Like, can I have a minute?
have a minute? You know, but like, as long as he's in his room, kind of doing his thing, like playing with his train track or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. As long as it's like quiet and he's, you know,
yeah, I guess
as long
I
as
have
not
a,
banging on
a
his.
Totally different approach. I'm like,
awesome.
We are going to try to sleep, my friend. We are going to do this thing. I'm going to lay here.
If anybody out there has tips on quiet time or transitioning from taking a nap to not taking a nap, I've done a lot of Google research and Ned has not. So I feel like I'm in the right here, but that's only because I did the Google research.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, Ned's got like, you have like this sort of inherent like dad energy that I feel like Ned or Wes responds to.
I got like the dad bond.
Yeah, the dad bond. Nice one. Speaking of the dad bod.
Speaking of the dad bod, welcome to Baby Steps, the weekly parenting comedy podcast. Fuck is up, y'all? No, it's like, you know, it's like we had our extended cold open. This is the intro where we're getting into the hashtag content that we hashtag planned.
Right.
Because we plan stuff for this. We prepare.
We do. You may not know, but we do prepare for this podcast. We don't just talk about
tripod,
our kids for an hour.
Boom, just popping off the dome. This, we're like, what will episode 17 be? Will it be different from episode 16?
We have a Google Doc.
It's true. We have a Google Doc.
Where we like move things around.
Yep. Miles is like, I don't think you can just talk about your kids for an hour. I don't know if people like that as much as things that are more universally relatable. But hey, you out there, Baby Steps fam, keep stepping and tell us what you want to hear in the comments.
Okay, you guys.
We could add it to our Google Doc.
We can add to our Google Doc. But a little secret for those of you listening, Ned is really, really trying to get like a catchphrase.
That's true.
Here.
I'm trying to workshop my catchphrase.
Do you want to workshop
keep
a couple
steppin
right now?
Keep stepping didn't really feel right.
Keep stepping. Like, go on with your hashtag content, my love.
I forgot it. What was the hashtag content? What do you say?
We were going to talk about how you have changed.
Oh, that's right.
Since we've had kids.
Our planned content for the day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this episode is all about daddies.
Daddies. It's actually, we should say non-birthing partners.
Right. Right.
But specifically,
non-birthing partners.
I mean, honestly, this episode is about you, so you can call yourself whatever tuffa you want.
Daddy. Yeah, you're going to interview me Katie Couric style?
If you want.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, are we almost done here? No, not that. Sorry, I'll just...
You're such a diva.
I'm on Fallon in 40 minutes, so I've got to go. You met my publicist, Diane.
Your publicist.
My publicist. Anyways, what's up?
Hey, can we get you a snack or coffee or anything? Or?
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't do snacks anymore.
No. Well, so we have two kids.
Yes.
And would you say that you went through a postpartum period with either of our kids or both?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm mentally better adjusted with the second kid, despite the pandemic, actually. Although mm-hmm. it hasn't been easy, but I think the first kid was a big life shift.
Mm-hmm.
And that was difficult for me.
Uh-huh.
Like I think I got a little down at times. It's hard to adjust to the new normal, lack of sleep, lack of control over your life.
Uh-huh. And would you say that manifested itself in... like a physical way or a psychological way?
I think both. Uh-huh. I think both, yeah. And the physical element, you know, the dad bod is...
What is a dad bod, by the way?
I mean, a dad bod is when you become a dad, you just get a little extra cushion. You just get a little cushy on the side. You have a little shelf to help support the baby.
Uh-huh.
You know, and help to, like... identify to all the potential suitors out there that you're off the market.
Oh, I love that. The baby doesn't do that.
No.
You need to have the baby.
The baby, I think, is a chick magnet, as they say.
A chicken magnet.
Oh boy, I wish. But yeah, gotta get these ladies to step off my mans. I don't know. I don't go out much.
Does this make you uncomfortable?
Well, when you're like all Katie Couric at me, yeah.
You asked me to be Katie Couric. You asked me to be. Okay, I can be less so.
No, it's okay. I can take it. But I might start being Russell Brand again.
Okay, so if you were to describe to like one of your guy friends who was going to be a dad, what it was going to be like...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Paint us a picture.
Oh, wow. Can you like pretend to be one of my guy friends?
Yeah.
What's up, dude?
What's up?
Hey.
Yo, you did really well in Smash yesterday.
Oh, thanks, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Snake.
Yeah, my GSP is pretty good. But you did good, too.
Yeah.
You had some good moments.
Thanks. I'm working on it. I was distracted.
Come at the king, best not miss. you're having a baby. That's
huge. Well, my wife is having a baby.
No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are still together, though, right?
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Well, you want some advice on what to expect?
I guess. I didn't really ask for it, but I guess if you're just giving out unsolicited advice, I accept.
Yeah, can we get a couple of whiskey shots? rail whiskey, please.
Oh, no, actually, I'm not drinking in solidarity with my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's so great for you, man.
So just want two shots for him.
Okay. Daddy needs this. Well, dear friend, your life is about to change quite significantly.
Oh, yeah?
I'm trying to be less, like, less bro-y, be more myself.
Okay.
but, yeah, I mean, bro, your life's about to get wrecked. It's how would I describe it? It is a level of love and joy that you cannot even fathom, because it's like you're living life on a completely new plane of existence. And yet it is also the most physically demanding. You thought all-nighters in college were bad. Oh, brother. It is so tough. And so, you know, you just don't have a lot of time to yourself. Don't have a lot of time to do your own thing.
Yeah, so
make that, wooden bookshelf project right now.
Yeah, are there things, would you recommend that I like do anything right now before we have the baby?
Yeah, like go out to the movies or go get drinks with friends or go spend a weekend with your, yeah, I gotta do the baby moon.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you recommend a baby moon?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You know, just enjoy waking up in the morning and being able to do whatever you want.
Sleeping in. Yeah.
Sleeping in past 6:30.
Working out.
Yeah, yeah. Get like super swole now so that you kind of, you know,
you have,
will
you,
deteriorate,
you have gains to
less
lose.
Slowly. Yes. Or more slowly. Yeah, more slowly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now I've gotten used to it, and it's just kind of my life now.
Uh-huh.
But at the time, oh my God, it was a big sense of a loss of control.
Yeah.
Where you don't get to do what you want to do most of the time.
And what did that feel like for you? How did you deal with that? How did that sort of come about? Were you like trying to do something and you just weren't able to?
I think so. You know, I mean, we had to kind of figure out the balance of being at home versus going to do a thing. Like, I remember having arguments about, like, me going to play a basketball game or a soccer practice or something, because mm-hmm. it was, like, me leaving the house for an hour or 2 hours was, like, a burden now that I'm placing on you. And when every single activity becomes like a negotiation or a,
right,
you know, having to plan. And of course, you know, you can, you have to mention something, like make it okay. then you have to remind the person, uh-huh, then you have to remind them again, because God forbid the day comes and it's like, oh, I'm going to basketball. Remember? I told you on Tuesday, and today's Saturday, and you say, oh, I had forgotten about that.
Oh,
this
shit.
Is, oh, I don't, oh, let's go. Okay, well, have fun. Now I feel like garbage. You know, it's hard. And I think we've now, after talking through it, you realize that, oh, if I'm working all day, then some of my self time has to come in the like non-work time, family time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also if you're doing the brunt of the childcare, that you need more help from me to help like balance that so mm-hmm. that you don't go insane.
Yeah, 100%. You really have to prioritize the time that you have. Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to spend that time like working out,
mm-hmm.
or are you going to spend that time doing the dishes? You know, it's sort of like some days you're probably going to choose working out and some days you're probably going to choose doing the dishes, but not everything gets done.
Yeah, there's not enough hours in the day to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always going to feel overworked and underappreciated.
And so what was the first thing that went for you?
I mean, I think we're talking about dad bods. Like, fitness is clearly the first to go. Mm. It's like very much a novelty rather than a daily routine.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it was
for
like
both of us, absolutely.
For months, I was not exercising hardly at all, whereas before I would be exercising almost every day.
Right. And you had your knee thing. around that time too.
I did. That was terrible. That was not a good time to have a knee surgery. The doctor kind of claimed I would be back up and walking around within like a week.
That was not.
And I think I got this surgery like 2 months before the due date. And I was like, surely 8 weeks will be fine. Well, then the baby came
4 weeks early.
4 weeks early. And it was not as easy as walking around after a week. So it's sort of like I procrastinated this surgery for years because I was, you know, a young employee at BuzzFeed, really felt like I needed to grow my career and not take, you know, a whole week off from work when I have paid sick days and no responsibilities. Gosh, heaven forbid I do one less project. But that's how I felt at the time. And then I realized, like, shit. I'm really not going to have time once this baby comes. Oh, fuck, I better get this surgery done before the baby comes. And then it was, yeah, it was, I think my recovery was that much longer because once the baby came, I could hardly do any physical therapy.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But, I mean, on the flip side, I was chatting with somebody the other day, and we were talking about all the stuff that was happening when Wes was born, how you were starting a new company and we were building a house, and how different that is from what it has been like with Finn, and that, you know, you sort of just rise to the occasion. You know, if you have 1,000 things that you need to get done, you just do it.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, and we did a lot of traveling with Wes. You know, I remember there being a conversation that we had where we both kind of realized that our lives were not over.
It's true. I mean, it's that is another thing to say to your friend at the bar is like, you're not going to, your lives aren't over once you have kids. Like, I've still had, you know, I've had nights where I've, you know, gone and gotten beers with a friend or, you know, played magic, or I've even had whole weekends where I've gone to do the fantasy football draft with my buddies.
Yeah.
And you and I have gone out on many dates and continued to go to the movies. But it's just, it's harder, right?
Yeah.
To go to the movies, you have to get a babysitter. You have to arrange all that. You have to make sure that, you know, that everything goes smoothly. And like, to spend a whole weekend away, it's just, it's, you know, you either have to make sure that your parents are in town or that you are really up for it, or that it's a very important, you know, maybe like we get one a year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that I think is what is difficult, is that everything becomes like a jigsaw puzzle rather than just free flowing. But it doesn't mean that you can't do them.
Yeah. I do feel like one of your least favorite things to do is like scheduling. Ned hates talking about his calendar and talking about like how to figure out the jigsaw of...
Oh, I mean, it's already so complicated. I mean, we have, you know, our producer, Alexandria, kind of keep track of all four of our schedules and the production calendar, because it's like no one person can do... It's like there's a lot going on with, you know, what the staff is doing, what each of us are doing individually, when can we do certain things. So then when you ask something personal, I'm like, I don't know. I have to check my calendar / call Alexandria and say, am I free this day? I see that I have a full day hold. Is that going to be a 12-hour day? Is that going to be an 8-hour day? Is that going to be a 4-hour day?
Fair enough.
I lost the, as we started the company, I really lost the like sense of, immediate mental recall over my own calendar, which is a disorienting sense, right? And I think it's also, that's the exciting part of owning your own business. You have more flexibility.
Yeah.
Before it was, well, what am I doing next Tuesday? Well, I have to go to work for 8 hours because they'll fire me if I don't. And now it's like, well, you know, I have this obligation, this could be moved. And yeah, I can do a doctor appointment here.
Right. Yeah, you talked a little bit about, you know, like going on dates and things like that.
Yeah.
It's harder. Harder to like be romantic with your partner and like have alone time. And I mean, I feel like we're in a really good place right now, but mm-hmm. we definitely went through a period of time where things were hard and we weren't communicating. I mean, what was that like for you? Do you remember what that was like?
I do. And it was difficult. I think it kind of comes down to a couple of things. One is that idea of you want to be seen.
Right.
You want to be appreciated.
Talk about that
well,
a little bit.
It's like there are so many things to do and so many like things that mm-hmm. you're putting up with every day.
Like what?
Oh, I don't know. You know, all the things. Changing diapers, waking up in the middle of the night, cleaning things, dishes, uh-huh. organizing things, making food.
Right.
Like yeah. buying something, making money, doing work,
laundry. Yeah. Yeah.
Folding laundry, doing laundry, putting away laundry, like a whole bunch of household
just
things.
Just all the things. Just all the things.
And
yeah.
then also like your work and your finances. Uh-huh. So it's like.
And your like just personal life, working out, talking to friends, you know, like those may not seem as important, but like psychologically they are just.
Oh,
as
sure.
Important.
Sure. But those become sort of like almost negatives where you have to, you're a real asshole if you are not doing a bunch of those other things and then doing the like self-care type
sure.
of things.
Sure.
So you basically, you can't, it's like, do you want like credit for doing your life? And it's like we both did. Like
we needed the
other person to like appreciate the shit you were eating.
Yeah.
Because both people are eating a bunch of shit all day. And by that, I mean doing tasks and stuff and life.
Right. Just trying to do it and do it for the other person. But when the other person isn't recognizing that.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't have to, I mean, we don't have to talk about this in, you know, vague terms. We could talk about it like it was you and me. It was, mm-hmm. you know, you were doing a lot of work and I was doing a lot of work. And mm-hmm. you feel like I felt like I couldn't do any of the things that I wanted to do. And I was only doing the things that I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't totally understand what the other person is going through, especially mm-hmm. if it's the paradigm where one partner, typically the non-birthing partner, like goes back to work,
mm-hmm.
bringing in the dough, and then right. the other person is at home. You know?
Usually,
the person at home is like, "Well, you haven't been here all day. You haven't like helped. I've done all this stuff."
Right.
And the
you don't
other
know
person
what it's
at
like.
Work is like, "I've been out here
right.
working all day.
Like, I have other stressors."
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's and that was absolutely something. Especially with our first kid, with Wes, I'll admit, I did not think, you know, I thought about the time that you spent away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that as like your time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so
really?
When you're away from the house for 8 hours, of course, I don't think about it like that now, but because I know how hard your work is. But like when you're away from the house for 8 hours, I was like, you are with friends.
Mm-hmm.
You got to eat lunch for an entire hour without somebody like, you know, clawing at you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to poop by yourself. You know, just all of these things that like I was struggling to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And so then when you came home, then I would immediately hand you a baby and mm-hmm. be like, this is my damn time. You know,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, wait a minute, I have been at work for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I have been, you know, I have been in meetings. I have had other stressors. I have, you know, I've had to deal with all of this other stuff. And
mm-hmm.
now, you know, now you're like giving me like, just give
you're
me
like
a second.
Mad at me for existing and not giving me any time to like adjust or be, you know, have my own decompression time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. And then from my perspective, I'm thinking like you're at home all day. You don't have any like projects or tasks you need to accomplish other than laundry or like the baby naps multiple. Like how hard can it be? You know, you think those things, especially when you've had a really stressful day. It's like I'm like, oh, these lawyers calling me and negotiating a difficult contract or like feeling like you're going to run out of money. Like all these, you know, kind of stressful things that you kind of especially when you don't have sleep, it's very easy to lose empathy for the other person.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that empathy, and it's tied to appreciation, but it's at its core empathy of like understanding what the other person might be going through is really important and really hard to do because, you know, the other person doesn't want to hear that. I never said that. It's probably even hard for you to hear a little bit now, but like it went through my head
not
occasionally,
anymore.
Right? I'm like, the kid naps, but it's when you're there doing it all day, you're like, I'm going to blow my brains out. I haven't had adult human interaction in 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. The kid napped for 20 minutes and woke up while I was in the shower. So I ran out with my towel around my leggies, scarfed down a sandwich with breast milk all over, you know, that's like,
yeah,
it's all hard. It's all hard, and it's hard to have that understanding of what the other person's going through, and then also like have the, you know, even more giving energy to let them say, you know, do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. We are in a good place now.
Yeah.
When do you think that shift happened?
I mean, we did some couples therapy, uh-huh. which I would recommend for everyone. You don't have to be having like problems or issues.
Yeah, you don't have to be like on the brink of a divorce
really,
to go to couples therapy.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the stigmas around it is like, oh, it's a bad thing. But actually, it's a great thing because you got to talk about stuff, right? No matter whether you feel like you need to go to couples therapy or not, there's stuff that you got to talk about.
It doesn't even
need to be an argument. It's just like stuff you got to sort through. Would you rather do that like on your one night away from the kids? Or like your, you know, on your date night or your the 9 p.m. when everything's finally calm? Mm-hmm. Or maybe would it be better to have schedule something almost like a doctor appointment mm-hmm. where at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Right. With a mediator.
You kind of go take a little break from your work day and you're able to talk about that
was
stuff.
Kind of what it was like for us. We would schedule it like a doctor's appointment mm-hmm. and then we had, you know, an hour to kind of get all of that information out there. And I remember, you know, we had a therapist. I just remember her kind of making that hour very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, she really cuts deep, cuts quick.
Which was great because we only have an hour and she recognized that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I remember times in some of those sessions of just really gaining a better understanding of what you were going through and what you actually needed from me
uh-huh.
and vice versa. Like I, you know, I realized that you needed to be seen for the things that you were doing and to feel like appreciated for uh-huh. all the work that you were doing. And I think that was the biggest thing once we realized if we just tried to give each other compliments and like, great job, hon.
Like,
keep up the great
work. You're
doing
it.
It helps so much because you feel like the other person has your back.
Yeah.
And then also, like, you know, understanding the give and take of, you know, helping each other out with stuff.
Right. And you and I, as I think most of our listeners know, we sort of live our life and we... like experience things through humor.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason why we're doing a humor podcast.
I hope you guys
podcast.
Are enjoying our comedy podcast today.
You know, but
so funny.
So
I love the part
funny.
Where Ned got sad.
But I, you know, it going to therapy sort of gave us it like sort of opened a door to us being able to enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of both of us just constantly being like, this is so hard.
Yeah.
You're not doing any work. I'm doing all the work.
That resentment can build up. So the couples therapy helped, right? And then there was a big shift right around 6 months of the baby's age where you finally start sleeping better again.
The sleep is big.
That makes everything so much better. And suddenly you feel like you can enjoy your baby. That family time, the three of you, is like a special fun thing. And it's like everything gets better with better sleep.
That's, you know, very
currently
very
we're not feeling that. it's like everything. It's almost like a lot of those stresses like melt away.
Yeah.
You're just better able to deal with things with a full night of sleep.
Well, also a 6-month-old baby they're actually starting to communicate with you a little bit more, mm-hmm. and like let you know what they need,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to you just guessing what they need, mm-hmm. and trying, mm-hmm. all these different things frantically, you know, like, well, it's frantic for us. I'm sure it's not for everybody. Yeah, you know, like you've got a 6-month-old baby. Maybe they're sitting up. Maybe they're playing with toys, putting stuff in their mouth, being adorable,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to a newborn, a 2-month-old, 3-month-old who is, you know, they still maybe can't completely focus on things and they're, you know, not.
Yeah, it's
talking
like they become a child rather than just a baby.
Yeah. I guess so.
They kind of start to become a toddler. You feel like you're more connecting with another human.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think
and
that's
the babies,
a really...
You're connecting, but you're more connecting in a physical way.
Right. Yeah. You're providing for what they need,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to communicating, mm-hmm. with them. And so, you know, some moments where you're providing for a baby are very, very special.
Yes.
But it's not the same. It's not the same as, you know, communicating with another human being,
mm-hmm.
And them telling you what they need, and then you're able to give them that, and then you get the satisfaction of giving them what they need, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a very simple equation.
Yeah,
where like they need something, you give it to them, you are both happy.
Yes,
you know, but you don't always get that, uh-huh. with an infant, you know. We're seeing that with Wes now too, where he's moving into a completely different like time of his life.
He's like a little kid now.
I
it's shocking.
Really enjoy spending time with him.
Mm-hmm.
He is just a fun kid. Mm-hmm. And he tells jokes,
mm-hmm.
and like, you know, says the most hilarious things and has
stories,
has ideas of his own. And, you know, like we were at the store the other day and he really wanted to get out of the cart and ride on the escalator.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, sure. Yeah, buddy, let's do it. That sounds great. You know, like let's ride the escalator up and down a couple times. That would be really fun for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he had so much joy from doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was totally his idea too, you know, and I feel like if I were in the place that I was when we first had Wes and, mm-hmm. you know, we were both sort of just like, we were just down, you mm-hmm. know, I feel like there's this like sense of always needing to say no. And being like, no, right. you can't do that. No, no, that's not a good idea. No, that's not safe. No, I don't have time for that. But for some reason, I feel like with Wes right now, I'm able to just say yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, sure, buddy. We can, you know, squish Play-Doh into the carpet. I'll take care of it later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sure.
You know, like, I felt a big shift, and I've talked about this with some of my dad friends, where when you kind of have a little bit more balanced responsibilities, whether you have, you know, like a nanny or a childcare provider, you have a family around.
Yeah.
But
or you've just figured it out with
your
significant
other. Yeah, you figured it out with your significant other. When you have a good balance there, then it's a lot easier to make the mental shift, which I think is a very necessary mental shift of like spending time with the baby.
Uh-huh.
It can be something that is like fun and like positive rather than always seeing it as an obligation to be avoided. Uh-huh. If you always have the mindset, because so much of it is difficult and you need to, you know, you can't do it all the time, so you have to kind of pass the hot potato, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
If you're always having that mindset of like caring for the baby is like an obligation to be balanced or reduced.
Right.
That's a horrible mindset to go through life, right? It kind of makes even the good moments not as good. But if you are able to say like, well, now I'm going to be caring for the baby and I'm really going to try and
I'm going to give it 100%.
Get a lot out of it and give a lot to it, then it's like so much more nourishing for your soul.
Yeah. I remember feeling a lot of guilt about feeling that.
Really?
In the early days.
Feeling like you didn't want to be with the baby?
Yeah, about feeling like it was a responsibility as opposed to a pleasure.
Right.
You know? I think I'm just naturally, I didn't grow up around kids.
I don't think it's anything you specific to be, I mean, maybe some people are.
I think some people are just naturally with kids.
Get it, but
and just, you know, just find that joy in you know, being with kids. I mean, there have to be. There are so many people that work with kids.
I guess
you know?
That's true. But I think it's totally reasonable to say that, like, caring for babies is not fun.
There is. I mean, as we know, with a baby, you can. There is a semblance of, like, being able to do your own thing a little bit.
I guess
Whereas
that's
with a toddler.
Yeah. See, we also didn't know what we had when we had it. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You're telling me they take 5 naps a day? What? And when you put them down in one spot, they do not move. We were so frantic and sensitive about everything with our first child.
I know.
We wouldn't leave him. We wouldn't go out of his sight.
I know. We couldn't leave him in a room by himself.
Okay to do that.
He's gonna roll off. He's gonna disappear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that one time when he actually did roll off the couch. Like 12 inches.
Mm-hmm.
12 inches.
And we went to the ER. I stand by it.
They made fun of us in the ER.
It helped me heal.
I have never seen a doctor look at me like that. Like, are you an idiot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you brought him all the way over here?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
This is my first child.
Idiot, LLC. Yeah, I think I'm a toddler person because I would say the days that I've spent like the whole day with Wes when he's more this toddler age, uh-huh. like went to the beach or going to the park or like going on an adventure. It's just so fun for me. Like, I connect really well and that it's like a really memorable. I mean, it's just some of my best memories.
I think you're going to be a young child person.
Oh, for sure.
Because you love explaining how things work.
I do. That's true.
That is that brings you so much joy. And right now, Wes is at that stage where he's asking, like, what does this do? How does this work?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he can fully grasp exactly how things work. And like,
Ned
is like explaining the ins and outs of an air compressor,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like, why does it work? Like, what is friction when you rub your hands together? Why does it make it warm?
You're just saying words to them.
That's
and
true.
Over time, they might start
but
to understand.
A 4-year-old, a 5-year-old.
Oh, then they actually understand.
Then they're actually going to understand. And oh my goodness. And you're going to be building robots and Legos.
You asked me to explain what friction was to uh-huh. Wes. And I got so upset because I couldn't quite remember why things actually got hot when you rub your hands together. Like, I wanted
energy.
To say not just the surface reason,
right.
The deep reason. Yeah, I can talk about the coefficient of the friction and the normal force, but then I was like, but why does it get hot scientifically? I don't remember. So you were like, Daddy explained it. Daddy feels like he did not explain it properly.
Oh, wow.
The textbook. I'm a little frustrated with myself. Yeah. If you're, if you're a science daddy in the comments, like, yes, drop me a line. Remind me how it works.
Why does it get hot when you rub your hands together?
What's the thermodynamic reason? Can you tell me, Rachel? No. See, I can't either. And that's driving me nuts. Anyways, We'll look it up, and next week, be prepared. We'll have a Science
we will
Daddy
tell
segment
you why.
On Baby Steps.
I do love Science Daddy. Wes loves it too.
Yeah.
Mostly because he gets to
experiments
every single time he gets to eat candy.
Yeah, why are all these kids experiments using candy?
Because that's how you
we
get kids to do experiments.
We exploded a gummy bear. I mean, spoiler alert. I haven't seen it yet, but we did a gummy bear explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wes is now obsessed with gummy bears. And he says explosion. He says explosion.
Explosion.
And it's so cute. To round this out, how has your perception of yourself changed?
Oh, wow.
Since you've become a parent? Are you the same person you were in college? Are you...
Oh, no. I mean, no. God, no. I definitely see, like, being a dad as part of my identity now. And I'm happy about that. I think it's a great thing.
So you wouldn't go back?
To not having kids? No.
It's a valid question. I mean...
No, that is... No, I mean, look, it's like you put up with a bunch of bullshit, but it's way better. Your life is way better than it was. It's just more full, and it's like amazing to have a child is growing and developing before your very eyes.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a dad, and I didn't realize how hard it was going to be, but I would not give it up for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that I see, you know, I see it as part of my core of my being. And even like the dad bod too, I kind of see like I'm holding Finn and like, you know, my belly's like kind of popped out because that's how it's comfortable to hold a baby. I'm like, cool, man, I got a little baby shelf here. All right.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
And that makes me love you so much more.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. The opposite of a mating call. Do you remember? So I did a six-pack video about 9 months ago, about a year ago now.
Right. It was right when I was like early pregnant.
Starting
with
to become pregnant.
Finn,
yeah. And that was like a reaction to not hardly exercising at all for 3 years. And that video was about finding balance. And I would say trying to get a six-pack is balanced in the opposite direction. It's like not balanced, mm-hmm. right? But I think I found a better balance now where it's like, you know, doing one fun, like out of the house exercise once a week, like soccer or something.
Uh-huh.
Can't wait for that to pick back up. Or not, you know, if it's bad weekend, then don't do it. But and then like exercising kind of like two or three times a week. It's enough to like, you know, stave off health problems. but not so much that. Gonna be shredded. And what they don't tell you about the six pack is it's totally your diet is very restrictive.
It's hard to keep up.
It's not fun. I'd rather have big fun family meals with French fries and, you know, have a little baby shelf.
I like your baby shelf.
Oh, thanks.
Well, to wrap this up, give us maybe like two things that you would tell new dads to help them enjoy the time that we have expressed is very difficult.
Yeah. Well, be nice to your partner and be appreciative because they're going through a lot too. And to really shift your perspective towards like giving and enjoying the moments rather than focusing on how hard it is, because it only happens once and it'll be gone before you know it.
That's so nice.
Yeah. We were talking about Wes going to preschool in the fall and I was like,
I know.
What do you mean? What do you mean we can't?
He's going to make friends. He's a threenager, as Rachel calls it.
Oh my God. Threenager.
I know.
Please. But I guess that is what it is. Yeah.
Well, that was a beautiful sentiment, honey.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for opening up.
Thanks.
And sharing your thoughts and your feelings.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And if you out there listening enjoyed that too, make sure you smash that subscribe button and hit the old liggity like button. No, too much. Okay. Say beautiful. Yeah, rate us 5 stars on iTunes. And if you're watching on YouTube, go subscribe on iTunes, even if you don't listen to it, you know? helps our numbers for the sponsors. Until next time, life's a journey. Take baby steps.